Good morning, everyone. Today we will read from the Hours of the Passion. The prayer to disarm divine justice. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Prevenient Act, Rounds to Begin the Day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day. And setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act. I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother, I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love and the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation. And making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone, and has loved everyone, and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath, and as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The Command Prayer. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the Divine Will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you, since your immaculate conception, the grace of never going astray. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, Heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you performed, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up to your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, with my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my Mother Mary and of Louisa. I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embrace, joys, and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you, and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature, to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and the prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the Divine Will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors, make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapturer of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love.
with it I shall always be happy. I shall have a singular strength and holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle, so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me, to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hand. You will keep my heart jealously, shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world, so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in this same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will, that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
Prayer to disarm divine justice. My good Jesus, I see that your enemies lift the heavy wood of the cross and let it drop into the hole they had prepared. And you, my sweet love, remaining suspended between heaven and earth, In this solemn moment, you turn to the Father, and with weak and feeble voice, you say to him, Holy Father, here I am, loaded down with all the sins of the world. There is not one sin which does not pour upon me. Therefore, no longer unload the scourges of your divine justice upon man, but upon me, your Son. O Father, allow me to bind all souls to this cross and to plead forgiveness for them with the voices of my blood and of my wounds. O Father, do you not see how I have reduced myself? By this cross, by virtue of these pains, concede true conversion, peace, forgiveness, and sanctity to all. Arrest your fury against poor humanity, against my children. They are blind and know not what they are doing. Look well at me, how I have reduced myself because of them. You are not moved to compassion for them. May you at least be softened by this face of mine, dirtied with spit, covered with blood, bruised and swollen by so many slaps and blows received. Have pity, my Father. I was the most beautiful of all, and now I am all disfigured to the point that I no longer recognize myself. I have become the abject of all, and so, at any cost, I want to save the poor creature. My Jesus, how is it possible that you love us so much? Your love crushes my poor heart. Oh, I would want to go into the midst of all creatures to show this face of yours, so disfigured because of them, to move them to compassion for their own souls and for your love, and with the light which emanates from your face, and with the enrapturing power of your love, make them understand who you are and who they are who dare to offend you, so that they may prostrate themselves before you to adore you and glorify you. My Jesus, adorable crucified, the creature continues to irritate divine justice, and with her tongue she makes resound the echoes of horrible blasphemies, voices of curses and malediction, and evil discourses. Ah, all these voices deafen the earth, and penetrating even into the heavens, while deafening the divine hearing, they curse and ask for revenge and justice against her. Oh, how divine justice feels pressed to hurtle its scourges. Oh, how the many horrendous blasphemies ignite its fury against the creature.
But you, O my Jesus, loving us with highest love, face these deadly voices with your omnipotent and creative voice and cry out for mercy, graces, and love for the creature. In order to appease the indignation of the Father, all love, you say to him, My Father, look at me once again. Do not listen to the voices of the creature, but to mine. I am the one who satisfies for all. Therefore, I pray you to look at the creature and to look at her in me. If you look at her outside of me, what will happen to her? She is weak, ignorant, capable only of doing evil, and full of miseries. Have pity, pity on the poor creature. I answer for her with my tongue, embittered by bile, parched by thirst, dried and burned by love. My embittered Jesus, my voice in yours, wants to face all these offenses, all the blasphemies, in order to change all human voices into voices of blessings and praise. My crucified Jesus, at so much love and pain of yours, the creature does not yet surrender. On the contrary, she despises you and adds sins to sins, committing enormous sacrileges, murders, suicides, duels, frauds, deceits, cruelties, and betrayals. Ah, all these evil works weigh on the arms of your celestial Father, so much so that unable to sustain their weight, he is about to lower them and pour fury and destruction upon the earth. And you, O my Jesus, to snatch the creature from the divine fury, fearing to see her destroyed, you stretch out your arms to the Father. You disarm him and prevent divine justice from taking its course, and to move him to compassion for miserable humanity, and to soften him, you say to him with the most persuasive voice, "My Father, look at these hands, ripped open by the nails that pierced them, which nail them together with all these evil works. Ah, in these hands, I feel all the spasms that these evil works give to me. Are you not content, O my Father, with my pains? Am I perhaps not capable of satisfying you? Yes, these dislocated arms of mine will always be chained to hold the poor creature tightly, so that they may not escape from me, except for those who wanted to struggle free by sheer force. These arms of mine will be loving chains that will bind you, my Father, to prevent you from destroying the poor creature. Even more, I will draw you closer and closer to her, that you may pour your graces and mercies upon her. My Jesus, your love is a sweet enchantment for me and pushes me to do what you do. So together with you, at the cost of any pain, I want to prevent divine justice from taking its course against poor humanity. With the blood that pours out of your hands, I want to extinguish the fire of sin that ignites it and to calm its fury."
Allow me to place in your arms the sufferings and the torments of all men, and the many hearts grieving and oppressed. Allow me to go among all creatures and press them into your arms, so that all of them may return to your heart. By the power of your creative hands, allow me to stop the current of so many evil works, and to hold everyone back from doing evil. My lovable crucified Jesus, the creature is not yet content in offending you. She wants to drink to the bottom all the filth of sin, and she runs almost wildly along the path of evil. She falls from sin to sin, disobeys all of your laws, and denying you, rebels against you, and almost out of spite, she wants to go to hell. Oh, how indignant becomes the Supreme Majesty! And you, O my Jesus, triumphing of everything, even over the obstinacy of creatures, in order to appease the Divine Father, show him all of your most holy humanity, lacerated, dislocated, tortured in a horrible way. You show your most holy feet pierced, twisted by the atrocity of the spasms, and I hear your voice more moving than ever, as though in act of breathing its last, wanting to conquer the creature by force of love and pain, and to triumph over the paternal heart. My Father, look at me from head to foot. There's not one part of me which is left whole. I do not know where else to let them open more wounds and to procure more sufferings. If you do not placate yourself at the sight of love and suffering, who will ever be able to appease you? O creatures, if you do not surrender to so much love, what hope remains for you to convert? These wounds and blood of mine will be voices that constantly call from heaven to earth, graces of repentance, forgiveness, and compassion for you. My Jesus, crucified lover, I see that you can take no more. The terrible tension that you suffer on the cross, the continual creaking of your bones that dislocate more and more at every tiny movement, your flesh that rips more and more, the ardent thirst that consumes you, the interior face of so many martyrdoms, the human ingratitude that insults you and penetrates like a mighty wave into your pierced heart, oppress you so much that your most holy humanity unable to bear the weight of so many martyrdoms, is about to end, and raving with love and suffering, cries out for help and pity. Crucify Jesus! Is it possible that you, who rule everything and give life to all, ask for help? Oh, how I wish to penetrate into each drop of your most precious blood and to pour my own in order to soothe each one of your wounds, to lessen and render less painful the pricks of each thorn, and into every interior pain of your heart to relieve the intensity of your bitterness.
I wish I could give you life for life. If it were possible, I would want to unnail you from the cross and put myself in your place. But I see that I am nothing and can do nothing. I am too insignificant. Therefore, give me yourself. I will take life in you, and in you, I will give you yourself. In this way, you will satisfy my yearnings. Tortured Jesus, I see that your most holy humanity is ending, not because of you, but to fulfill our redemption in everything. You need divine aid, and so you throw yourself into the paternal arms and ask for help and assistance. Oh, how moved is the Divine Father in looking at the horrible torture of your most holy humanity, the terrible crafting that sin has made upon your most holy members. And to satisfy your yearnings of love, he holds you to his paternal heart and gives you the necessary helps to accomplish our redemption. And as he holds you tightly, you feel again in your heart, more intensely, the blows of the nails, the lashes of the scourging, the tearing of the wounds, the pricking of the thorns. Oh, how the Father is struck, how indignant he becomes in seeing that all these pains are given to you up into your inmost heart, even by souls consecrated to you. And in his sorrow, he says to you, "Is it possible, my son, that not even the part chosen by you is holy with you? On the contrary, it seems that these souls ask for refuge and a hiding place in your heart in order to embitter you and give you a more painful death. And even more, all these pains they give to you are hidden and covered by hypocrisy. Ah, son, I can no longer contain my indignation at the ingratitude of these souls, who grieve me more than all the other creatures together. But you, O my Jesus, triumphing of everything, defend also these souls, and with the immense love of your heart, form a shield to the waves of bitternesses and piercings that these souls give you. And to appease the Father, you say to him, 'My Father, look at this heart of mine. May all these pains satisfy you. And the more bitter they are, the more powerful may they be over your heart of Father, to plead graces, light, and forgiveness for them. My Father, do not reject them. They will be my defenders, who will continue my life upon earth. My life, crucified Jesus, I see you still agonizing on the cross because your love is not yet satisfied in order to give completion to all. I too, yes, agonize together with you. And all of you, angels and saints, come to Mount Calvary to admire the excesses and the follies of the love of a God.
Let us kiss his bleeding wounds. Let us adore them. Let us sustain those lacerated limbs. Let us thank Jesus for the accomplished redemption. Let us turn our gaze to the pierced mother who feels pains and deaths in her immaculate heart for all the many pains that she sees in her son God. Her own clothes are soaked with his blood. Mount Calvary is all covered with it. So all together, let us take this blood. Let us ask the sorrowful mother to unite herself to us. Let us divide ourselves throughout the whole world, and let us go to the help of all. Let us help those who are in danger, that they may not perish, those who have fallen, that they may stand up again, those who are about to fall, that they may not fall. Let us give this blood to the many poor blind, that the light of truth may shine in them. In a special way, let us go into the midst of the poor soldiers, to their vigilant sentries, and if they are about to be struck by the lead of the enemy, let us receive them into our arms to comfort them. And if they are abandoned by all, if they are desperate with their sad destiny, let us give them this blood, that they may be resigned and the atrocity of the pain lessened. And if we see that there are souls who are about to fall into hell, let us give them this divine blood, which contains the price of redemption. Let us snatch them from Satan. And while I hold Jesus tightly to my heart, in order to defend him and shelter him from everything, I will hold everyone to his heart, that all may obtain effective grace of conversion, strength, and salvation. Meanwhile, O Jesus, I see that your blood flows in torrents from your hands and from your feet. The angels, weeping, surrounding you like a crown, admire the portents of your immense love. I see your sweet mama, pierced by pain, at the foot of the cross. Your dear Magdalene, beloved John, all taken by ecstasy of awe, love, and pain. O Jesus, I unite myself to you, and I cling to your cross. I take all the drops of your blood, and I pour them into my heart. When I see your justice irritated against sinners, I will show you this blood in order to appease you. When I want the conversion of souls obstinate in sin, I will show you this blood, and by virtue of it, you will not reject my prayer, because I hold its pledge in my hands. And now, my crucified good, in the name of all generations, past, present, and future, together with your mama and with all the angels, I prostrate myself before you and say, we adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Fiat. Come, divine will.
Volume 17, July 9th, 1925. Laments of the Soul to Jesus. How the cross is the knocking of God and the knocking of the soul. I felt I could no longer be without my sweet Jesus. For many days I had to long for his return, but in vain. I would say to him from the heart, my love, come back to your little daughter. Don't you see? I cannot take it anymore. Ah, to what a hard martyrdom you expose my poor existence by depriving me of you. And tired and exhausted, I would abandon myself in his most holy will. Now, while I was in this state, I was reading, and I felt someone stretching out his arms around my neck. My mind became drowsy, and I found myself clasped in the arms of Jesus, all concealed and hidden in him. I wanted to tell him of my sorrow, but he gave me no time to do it. Then Jesus spoke, telling me, my daughter, don't you want to convince yourself that when my justice, out of a just reason, wants to chastise the peoples, I am forced to hide from you? You are nothing other than a little particle which binds all the other particles of the creatures and keeps them in a familiar relationship with you and as though in feast. So wanting to strike the other particles which are bound to you, my justice finds itself in a contrast and feels refrained from striking. This is why, during these last days in which I sent chastisements to the world, I remained hidden from you, though still remaining within you. Now, as he was saying this, I found myself outside of myself, and he showed me that in various points of the earth there had been somewhere earthquakes, somewhere grave fires with death of peoples, and somewhere else other troubles, and it seemed that more grave evils will follow. I was frightened, and I prayed. Then my adorable Jesus came back, and before him I saw myself very ugly, as though withered. And I said to him, my life and my all, look at me, how ugly I have become, how I am about to wither. Ah, how I changed without you. Your privation makes me lose the freshness, the beauty, which is in your grace. And I feel like I am under a burning sun, which draining me of all vital humors makes me wither and be consumed. Then Jesus made me suffer a little bit together with him. That suffering turned into celestial dew upon my soul, which restored the vital humors in me. And taking my poor soul in his hands, he added, poor daughter of mine, do not fear. If my privations make you wither, my return will give you back freshness, beauty, color, and all of my features. Moreover, your suffering with me will not only be like dew, which rejuvenates you, but will serve as a continuous knocker with which I may knock at the doors of your soul and you in mine, in such a way that the doors may remain always open, and you may freely enter into me, and I into you. And my breath will serve you as a breeze in order to preserve all the gifts and the beauty which I meant for you when I created you. While he was saying this, he blew very intensely upon me, and squeezing me to himself, he disappeared.
July 20th, 1925. The immobility in which grace finds itself, sorrow of Jesus, the soul who lives in the divine will, is the favorite of grace. As I was in my usual state, after going through most bitter privations of my sweet Jesus, finally he made himself seen. Without even saying a word to me, he placed me in a painful position, in perfect immobility. I felt life, but I had no motion. And while feeling pain, I was unable to write because of the pain I felt. But I was forced by the presence of Jesus and his most holy mother, most holy will, to remain immobile. Then, when my blessed Jesus pleased to do so, he stretched out his arms to grab me and press me to his womb. And he said to me, my daughter, did you see how painful the state of immobility? It is the hardest state. Because even while feeling bitter pains, motion is a relief. It is a sign of life. Contortions are mute voices which ask for help and move to compassion those who are around you. You have experienced how painful that is. But do you know why I placed you in this state of immobility? To make you understand the state in which my grace finds itself, and to receive a reparation from you. Oh, in what state of immobility does my grace find itself? It is life in continuous motion and is in continuous act to give itself to the creatures, but the creatures reject it and render it immobile. It feels the life, it wants to give life, and it is forced by human ingratitude to remain immobile without motion. What pain! My grace is light, and as light, it naturally spreads. But the creatures do nothing but spread darkness, and while my light wants to enter into them, darkness spreads, paralyzing my light and rendering it as though immobile and without life for the creatures. My grace is love and contains the life which can ignite everyone, but the creature, loving something else, renders this love as though dead for her. And my grace feels the most harrowing pain because of the state of immobility in which creatures put it. Oh, in what most painful constraints does my grace find itself? And this, not only from those who openly call themselves evil, but also from those who are said to be religious, pious souls, and many times because of trifles, because of something which is not to their liking, a fuss, a most vile attachment, or because they do not find the satisfaction of their own wills, even in holy things, while my grace is all motion and life for them. They render it immobile, and they cling to what they like, to their fuss, to human attachments, and to everything in which they feel the satisfaction of their own self. Therefore, in the place of grace, they put their own self as life and as their own idol. But do you know who is the comforter, the indivisible companion, the one who enraptures the motion and the life of my grace? Even more, she accelerates its motion more and more, and not even for one instant does she render it immobile. It is the soul who lives in my will. Wherever my will reigns, my grace is always in motion. It is always in feast. It always has something to do. It never remains grieved or idle. The soul in whom my will reigns is the favorite of my grace. She is its little secretary, in whom it places the secrets of its sorrows and of its joys. It entrusts everything to her, because my will has sufficient space in order to receive the deposit which grace contains, because she is nothing other than the continuous birth from my supreme will.
August 2nd, 1925. The I love you is everything. The work of Louisa with the Most Holy Mama. I was praying and fusing myself in the Holy Divine Will. I wanted to wander everywhere, up to the heavens, in order to find that supreme I love you, which is not subject to any interruption. I wanted to make it my own, so that I too might have an I love you, which is never interrupted, and which might echo the eternal I love you. And by possessing the source of the true I love you within me, I might have an I love you for each one and for all, for each motion, for each act, for each breath, for each heartbeat, and for each I love you of my Jesus himself. And while I seem to reach the womb of the Eternal One, making their I love you my own, I kept repeating everywhere and upon each thing a lullaby of I love yous to my Supreme Lord. Now while I was doing this, my thought interrupted my I love you, telling me, "What are you doing?
You could be doing something else. And then, what is your I love you? How special could this I love you of yours really be? And my sweet Jesus, as though moving hurriedly in my interior, told me, what are you saying? How special is for me the I love you directed to me? My daughter, the I love you is everything. The I love you is love. It is veneration. It is esteem. It is heroism. It is sacrifice. It is trust toward the one to whom it is directed. The I love you is to possess the one who encloses the I love you. The I love you is a little word, but it weighs as much as eternity. The I love you encloses everything, involves everyone. It diffuses itself. It restricts itself. It rises up high. It descends down to the bottom. It impresses itself everywhere, and it never stops. What, my daughter? How special can your I love you really be? Its origin is eternal. In the I love you, the celestial Father generated me. And in the I love you, the Holy Spirit proceeded. In the I love you, the eternal fiat made the whole creation. And in the I love you, it forgave guilty man and redeemed him. Therefore, in the I love you, the soul finds everything in God, and God finds everything in the soul. This is why the value of the I love you is infinite. It is full of life and of energy. It never tires. It surpasses everything and triumphs over everything. And so, this I love you, directed to me, I want to see it and hear it on your lips, in your heart, in the flying of your thoughts, in the drops of your blood, in the pains and in the joys, in the food you take, in everything. The life of my I love you must be long, long within you. And my fiat, which reigns in you, will place on it the seal of the divine I love you. After this, a sun came before my mind in a very high point. Its light was inaccessible. Continuous little flames came out from the center of it, each one containing an I love you. And as they came out, they placed themselves in order around this inaccessible light. However, these little flames remained as though bound with the thread of light to that inaccessible light, which nourished the life of the little flames. These little flames were so many as to fill heaven and earth. I seemed to see our God as the beginning and the end of everything. And in the little flames, the whole of creation as a divine birth of pure love. I too was a little flame, and my sweet Jesus pushed me to take flight through each little flame in order to place on them a double I love you. I don't know how I found myself outside of myself, wandering around in the midst of those little flames and impressing my I love you upon each one of them. But they were so many that I would get lost. However, a supreme force would make find again the order and the round of my I love you. Afterwards, I found myself in a vast garden, and to my surprise, I found the Queen Mama, who, approaching me, said to me, my daughter, come with me to work in this garden. We must plant celestial and divine flowers and fruits. It is now almost empty. And if there is any plant at all, it is terrestrial and human. Therefore, it is appropriate for us to pull it up so that this garden may be all pleasing to my Son Jesus. The seeds we must plant are all of my virtues, my works, my pains, which contain the seed of the fiat voluntas tua. There was nothing I did which did not contain this seed of the will of God. I would have contented myself with doing nothing rather than working or suffering without this seed. All my glory, the dignity of mother, the height of queen, the supremacy over all, came to me from this seed. The whole of creation, all beings, recognized me as ruler over them because they saw the supreme will reigning in me. So we will unite all that I did together with all that you did with this seed of the supreme will, and we will plant it in this garden. So we fused the seeds which my celestial mama had, which were many, together with the few which were mine, and I don't know how I found them. And we started to form little holes in which to place these seeds. But while we were doing this, from behind the walls of the garden, which were very high, we heard noise of weapons and of cannons, which roared in a horrible way. So we were forced to run out to give help. As we arrived there, we could see people of various races, of different colors, and many nations united together, which were waging battle and striking terror and fright. While I was seeing this, I found myself inside myself. But oh, with what fright! And also, with the sorrow of having said not even a word about my heart state to my celestial mama. May the most holy will of God be always blessed, and may everything be for his glory.
That that war that they were witnessing was probably the Second World War, which was going to start in about maybe a dozen years later. Going towards the front here with I Love You, a lot of things came to my mind about when we say, the teaching is telling us to say I love you all the time, and it's not talking about works at all. You know, you catch that? And if we want to say, well, how do I want to affect my life with what this teaching is, you know? And it looks like if we put ourselves in the divine will and say, I love you, it really has such a value. It's not talking about doing anything else, but saying, I love you, because we're uniting ourselves with Jesus. That's the number one thing. Some of you could say, well, don't you think you'd better go help the poor down in Kensington or something like that? Don't you think? We're not doing one or the other. We're saying I love you then when we do those acts too. You know, it's not so we can't dismiss ourselves from doing good works, but while we're doing the good works, why don't we just say to Jesus, I love you, and that's why we're doing it. So what's the motive of our actions? But just to remember that when we're doing these good actions, to say I love you. Simple as that. So, and some people might use it as a crutch or as an excuse for not doing some things, you know, at all. Just think I'll just sit home and say, I love you. Well, that sounds good too from this reading, but we can do the say, I love you, no matter what we're doing. So that's what I got out of it anyway, not to use the I love you as an excuse for not doing, you know. We can say, I love you anytime. It's so easy, it's so simple. And it puts us with Jesus. And that's the main thing. Every time we say, I love you, we're acknowledging the divine will, and we acknowledge that we want to be in the divine will. And that's so simple and so easy to pick up on. Amen.